the council supported that, and from there we created this little Care for Creation team, which is real. You never know how big it really is. There's probably a core of about 6 people who come on a regular basis all the time. And then there's probably 20 or 30 people on an email list that get all the invitations and kind of know what's going on and stuff. Jeannie is one of our most faithful members, and Jeannie is going to be helping just share ideas here. But we did that. We realized that we couldn't be too strident in what we were doing, because there are clearly people, you know, if you say, well, global warming and all that kind of stuff, it gets some people uptight. If you say, you know, if it's too green in the sense of tree hugging, that doesn't quite get it either. So what we tried to work on is kind of social justice, and the poorest are the ones who suffer the most from what happens to our environment. We can buy bottled water. In a sense, we can buy our way out. We can get better air to breathe. We don't have like the asthma problems that kids in New York City or places like that have. And so how do we help people? We can buy good food. And people who are, you know, really only have maybe a neighborhood store that doesn't have fresh vegetables, fruits and vegetables, stuff like that, can't get those kinds of things. So it's a justice issue. We've done multiple things for publicity, bulletin boards in our newsletter. We've regularly put tips in. There is, in this handout, on the Lutherans Restoring Creation website, there's 52 tips. And so it's real easy then to have whoever does the newsletter to just pull something out. We read the book Seed Folks. Do you know that? They don't have it in this library, but that was an inspiring book. We looked at the movie Grown in Detroit, which is the story of these girls who are pregnant in a special school in Detroit, and they also learn gardening. And so they, you know, it's both, they have children, obviously, but they're also learning to grow vegetables and sell them at a farmer's market in Detroit. And they come to the garden with their purses. So it's, you know, it's like they just can't quite let go of all the trappings of what they needed, but yet they're in there farming and doing their stuff. So it's kind of an interesting one. We also watched, what was the video we just did?
Green Fire.
Yeah, the Aldo Leopold. Are you familiar with him?
Familiar with him, but not in videos.
It's
Eros and
it's a new documentary.
Yeah.
Fairly new documentary.
What's it called?
Green Fire.
Green Fire.
Yeah. In fact, it was interesting, the biologist who's been doing the sessions on wolves and things like that used several Alda Leopold quotes in her presentation on wolves, and one of them was where they got the name Green Fire. So it was, you know, I was sitting there going, wow, it was very neat. So that video is starting to go around, I think.
The Green Fire, he wasn't really totally touched by the whole nature thing until he saw the green fire go out of the eyes of a wolf when it died. And he started to realize that he had shot, that was it, yeah. That he started to realize the importance of all the pieces of the ecosystem. And then really, I think we just looked at what was going on around us and tried to link to that. Come on in. Here, there's an empty chair there, and is there one more hand over? Mm-hmm. And there are just a lot of things going on in Milwaukee, and I would guess there's a lot of things going on in your city. And what we kind of found is if we linked up with someone who was successful, that was helpful. I'm not going to go through all these. Well, one that was really popular was the medicine bottle collection, those little plastic medicine bottles. We found a clinic, a free clinic, that gave out medicines, and they were paying 50 cents a bottle. for those little plastic bottles. And so take off the labels. We collect, I don't know how many, hundreds and hundreds of these things. Finally, they had too many. But it took,
is still collecting them.
Really?
For a mission or something.
They're expensive to mail somewhere, so it's better if you can find someplace local. But that was, it's amazing how many pills.
I think one of the reasons that we've been as successful as we've been is that we haven't necessarily latched on to these big, enormous problems like global warming and focused on that. We've focused on little things that people can do and be successful. And it takes off from there. When people are successful at one thing, then they're more inclined to do another slightly larger project. And so it just keeps rolling along. As long as you empower people, you're going to get the interest.
One good example was a cross interest where we at Hart Park with the tree planting project, where we had a park that had been bulldozed and rearranged for flood control purposes. And so people would donate a tree, and then they got a plaque. But it was doing two things.
And we sold like 75 trees, and it was at Christmas time. And they were, well, they were big trees because all they had to pay was to move the tree. But still, they paid.
So who did you sell them to?
They went into a park.
Yeah, but you said you sold some. So
To our members of our congregation.
Yeah. And how big is your congregation?
1,800.
Oh.
It's a bigger, it is a bigger church. Yeah, we're lucky that way.
Well, again, in some of the small things like the battery recycling place that people can come and the forest, the light bulb recycling place. I mean, as long as you can get somebody to take ownership of that, to take them to wherever they have to go, you can.
And we've got, you know, in Portland, there's there's a lot of recycling. There's big infrastructure. So sort of you know, we're using glass dishes. We're doing some of that. We're wanting to kind of take it to the next level, and we're not sure what that next level is. And you know, so we're right now focusing, I think, a lot on education. And so, yeah.
Probably. Well, the latest thing that we did that I think really captured people. And this was, it's unique to Milwaukee, but maybe you can find something like this. Do you know who Will Allen is?
Mm-hmm.
You know who he is. He was one of the, in 2010, he was named one of the 100 most influential people by Time Magazine, and he won a MacArthur Foundation Award. He does urban gardening, and we got him to come to St. Matthews. And it's because he started this program where they're building 150 hoop houses around the city. So just this, and you guys could do that easier than, I mean, here we are, it snows, and they're going to grow food all year round in these hoop houses. But to build 150 hoop houses, and the city gave them about $500,000 to get this started, and then they're creating 150 living wage jobs out of that. And somebody said to me, Margaret, we should raise enough money to pay for one of these hoop houses. So that was $3,750. Well, somebody came forward and gave us $3,750. So then we said, okay, now we'll, with the idea that we match it. And that was, people loved that. And so watching those hoop houses go up, and they put a lot of compost down, about this much, right on top of parking lots and stuff, and then grow this stuff all over the city. So that was...
And I think for us it's an interesting sort of flip. You know, you have the members trying to spread the green. We have the green and sort of trying to get the word out to increase our membership, because Portland is, Oregon is incredibly unchurched. So we're trying, you know, we're thinking we do all these cool things, and, you know, these people who are spiritual but maybe not in a religious context, how do we get out there and
evangelize?
So it's an interesting, but it's kind of like, it's good.
No, I what I think about right away is kind of your witness is a big part of it, but when you're in such a green community, maybe it isn't noticed as much.
Yeah, I think that's.
You have the same.
I mean, that's not the only piece. Certainly, you know, there are things everybody can do to care for creation, but we're coming from a different place, I think. But this is interesting.
Yeah.
What other things have you done? So the trees were sort of a social justice-y type thing, and the medicine bottles. How else have you made that link? Selling it as a social justice ministry, but does that carry through to what you're doing?
Well, yeah, the gardening project, we started out doing a garden in Wauwatosa, which is a suburb just outside of the city, and now we've moved it to an inner city church, and they've really taken responsibility for it now. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think.
And do their parishioners then take home the food?
Yeah, they will. This is the first year that they're totally, last year, it didn't go real well, but you know, you try again.
Oh yeah.
So we put down
things
some
never,
more stuff.
You know, I heard almost it takes, I don't know, 3 years or something for something to really take hold. And
Well, a police car drove through the garden at one point, and that didn't do a lot of good. And then they didn't get the right kind of tomato plants to do the salsa that they want. One thing that's gotten, it's drawn some people in, is our canning project.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman who just offered to can. She's not from St. Matthew's.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of the Urban Ecology Center, which
is
not.
She was looking for a teaching site.
Yeah, and she came to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that has attracted people to come into the church.
And so how does that work? What do you can? Do you buy from farmers markets to can? Or what do you?
I have no clue where she gets her stuff.
She gets them from farmers markets or local gardeners that she's made contacts with over the years. A lot of the fruit she goes to specific orchards for. But she's got her own sources for all that stuff.
So she provides.
She provides.
She provides the
food.
People pay.
And then they pay to do the
so
actual canning, and
right,
then they get
yeah
to take it home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's jam and
pickles,
tomatoes and pickles.
Or speaking of Madame Jade.
Yeah.
She does buy quite a bit from the farm, the West Dallas Farmers Market.
Yeah, she's real close to that.
Yeah,
so.
St. Mass, when we joined, we saw it as a very interesting congregation,
mm-hmm,
not your average place.
Right.
And
yeah,
it's something like, wow, that's an interesting place. Let's check that out. And I think, honestly, we get people that come because of the canning or whatever it might be. It sounds kind of unorthodox.
And then they get to know the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this woman has a really good heart. And what she's doing now is this, our partner congregations, she's offered to go and teach one of them to do, to make salsa. We make salsa. Jeannie has taught us to make salsa. She's taught us to make pesto. So we grow basil in our own church garden,
mm-hmm,
and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's going to the partner congregations and teaching these kids to do salsa, and she's going to do jam at All People's. So it just kind of grows on its own.
So who maintains your church garden?
There's a gardening.
Is it the
we have a garden
committee?
Yeah, we have a garden committee that does that.
It's not the Care for Creation
uh-huh
people. It's like a, I always thought she was a master gardener.
No, she's
not. Not.
She's just somebody who has an interest in gardening, and it's a bunch of us who.
It's another little struggle for us.
We have a small congregation. We have a small congregation, but we have a, this is not for, this is more ornamental gardens, but our church has a garden.
Mm-hmm.
But it's divided into individual plots,
mm-hmm,
so there's not a church garden for everybody. But we have a gardening crew that comes in every Tuesday. It is not, I mean, attendance is encouraged by
And wine, oh, that's.
I said, I love being Episcopalian, we always have wine. But, you know, we have this guy, his name is Bob, he's a neighborhood guy, he likes the garden, and he lives in an apartment or a condo, and so he comes.
Yeah, and we have, you know, we have landscape, our church grounds are beautiful, but, you know, I think a vegetable garden takes a different kind of attention.
We don't have a vegetable.
That's the one we transferred to the inner city church.
Okay.
But.
Okay.
I don't think we're ready for a vegetable garden.
Well, we do basil.
Except for the basil, yes.
Basil and.
I'm from Salem, Oregon, and our church has a community garden, which is quite large, and we furnish the compost, the blocks to make the raised beds and the water, and anybody can come there. You don't have to be a member. Plus, we also have a community center, which different people use, plus the church building itself.
So your garden is on church property, but it's not the church garden.
Right. I mean, members can use it, but it's the other community that's also there. And then also, we have a gleaning project where towards the end of the season, they ask for volunteers and go out and glean fruits or whatever.
Really? Huh. So, and then what do you do with what?
A lot of it goes to the food bank.
We've never done that usually. That's cool. Could you do that?
No. Well, we have a community garden across the street from our church, but it's on the grounds of the care center, the nursing home. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. I made a note about it to find out what the relationship is. I know one of our parishioners works over there, but I don't know what the relationship is between the two. And I don't think we have space on our grounds for that kind of thing. I have a question. Did you make a decision not to get involved with one of the national groups or one of the, I don't know which ones, or I don't know if Earth Ministry is just Episcopalian, but there are other groups that are sort of natural green groups.
Well, when we got started, I don't know that there was, I didn't know as much about that, mm-hmm. and we just got started. And now, like I know Lutherans Restoring Creation, mm-hmm. we should do another formal, resolution and all that. Our Senate should do that. But we're doing it. So that's about all.
So you just did it without, you didn't decide to do it one way or
another. No. And the materials are all there, so it's just mm-hmm. kind of a matter of, I don't know. To me, it's more of an organic process mm-hmm. of just whatever people want to do it.
Oh, I had come in late and was just interested. It was sort of the same question. If you had done any work with David Rhodes and office and some of his greening creation or greening congregational work.
Yeah, I took his class in seminary.
Actually at LSTC, I think. Yeah. The National
Church. And so that's kind of where some of it started. And then he came to St. Matthew's. I forgot about that, but he came to St. Matthew's. We do what we call a day of grace and bring in a bigger speaker. We had Martin Marty, we had John Dominic Crossan, but we had David Rhodes. And that was very, he was instrumental, I think, there in influencing us too. Yeah. And he told me, I mean, he said, be sure you give out this Lutherans Restoring Creation here. So I will do that. It's okay. The manual. Yeah. Just another thing that came up this summer is one of the pastors in the Greater Milwaukee Synod is a beekeeper. He raises bees out in Ashapan, for those of you in the Milwaukee area, and he's very committed to giving all his honey to inner city churches to sell for youth programs. Mm-hmm. So he gets these little plastic angel bottles. We tried to get glass ones because plastic just doesn't feel right, but you can find holy water bottles, and they're expensive, so we didn't, we're using plastic right now. And these kids can sell every one that they can fill, $5 mm-hmm. a bottle, which is a little bit high, but mm-hmm. It's good local honey, and they love to do it. And now we're trying to do the same thing with jam and with lip balm made from the beeswax. So we'll see. Because then it ties sort of business and making money together with something green. Oh, our sustainable crafts, that's really kind of taken off. Somebody had the bright idea, I don't know anymore who it was, that we should do the mittens. You've probably seen these where you shrink sweaters and then cut them out and make them into mittens. And we sell them for like, we sell them under market. Market is about $30, $35, so we sell them for $25. And we can sell every pair we can make. So that's been a good, and that's inspired people to do other reusable things. Right now, actually, we had people here 3 years ago who were weaving on the looms downstairs, and they came back and said, could we have a loom in our church? So somebody donated a loom, and then we made pyramids for Lent, purple, which that's not necessarily caring for creation, but now what they're doing is weaving fabric out of plastic bags to make those sacks, book bags, mm-hmm. that kids carry. And then there's other people working on
rugs, making cloth in pieces and sewing those mm-hmm. together so that they're ready to go for making bag rugs.
And we've made a lot of pins, jewelry. This, maybe some of you have seen this project I'm working on. This kind of grew out of there. I hope will be a stole, but it'll be the colors of the liturgical colors. But this was all scrap yarn. Excuse me, that was given to us from a local knitting store. And then we started to make pins, crochet them. So we collect, like, so many people now. Our households are turning over, and so people just have fabric and
buttons,
tons of buttons, all kinds
of cards.
Yeah, we got one woman gave us all the greeting cards that her mother ever had gotten. It must have been a pile about this big, and someone sorted them. Well, a few people sorted them into holidays, but also by date. Or not date, but sort of decade, because old cards can be sold. So okay, maybe we'll get some money that way for what we're doing. And then we've made garland by just taking punches and punching out stars about this big and circles, and then you put two together so that both sides are pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So for Christmas tree garland, and then just sew them together. So long rows. Someone came with the idea that a youth group had made necklaces and sold them for a dollar or two. Well, our youth group didn't want to do that, so we made garland. I don't know. And then we've kind of branched out. We've used our money. We have a partner congregation in Tanzania. And so we gave money to them to do biogas, to avoid cutting down trees. With one biogas system, they could light a house. And
we also water the cows to produce the rubs,
really. Oh, yeah, I did buy that too. And we're working on a tilapia pond for an orphanage in El Salvador. And then we do the summer flowers from people's gardens. That's a pretty common one. We actually do not do Season of Creation, but you could do that. We have our composting bins. We're not as good as people are here. So well.
Many places are.
Yeah.
And then this last thing, I'll just pass this around.
Margaret, it's not directly part of Sharon's Association, but our food ministry program is food that would otherwise go into a landfill. So we're connected with major caterers in the area, and we do about 700 meals a week that we break down the food that they have that they would otherwise throw out.
Yeah, that kind of thing, if you did something like that, it's really a people who are, I think, recently retired, or people who are widowed. I think we've had some, or widowers, and it forms a real community of those people. And then the churches we give it to, they come in and pick it up. And so there's just a whole new Monday morning community that goes on there, and there isn't any reason that those people have to belong to the congregation at all.
And then through the inner city churches, they've come back to us and told us how it has dramatically increased, not dramatically, but it's increased their membership and that too, so it's been helpful to them.
Yeah.
How many different parishes do we support?
Well, it's about 10 churches and then some other kind of miscellaneous places that Chris ferrets out. This covenant with creation, this was one of David Rhodes' things. This one is the second one that we've had, and we give it to people when we do stewardship. So you do time and talents and money, and then what am I going to do to care for creation? And we get a lot of these back. They're by household, not by person. And it's designed so that they can tear off the bottom and keep a record of what they have. And then there's a little bit on the back of, that kind of says why we do what we do. So it's just something that you might want to do. I believe this is on our website, so you could pull it off and change the name on it. I know other churches in the community do it.
Does your congregation use ceramic mugs?
We do and we don't. We do not have, there's no green police. So like we put out a table and it says, what is it?
Lug a mug.
And sometimes there are mugs there, and often there are not.
One of the things our congregation did in Madison is just buy a whole bunch of mugs.
Yes.
They get Lutheran Church on it, and that's all we have out on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, we've had.
We have a little dishwasher and we have an energy efficient dishwasher, and everybody uses real mugs. And
we have done that with our meals. Like Lenten dinners and that, we do all China and silverware if we don't.
Well, we have some paper because some kids can't carry the heavy plates, which is fine. I mean, that's been very much, you know, you just don't say to people, you can't do this or you can't do that, you get it. But so you can do that with all mugs. And somebody loads the dishwasher, yeah. And
we do it to people who are volunteers, yeah, and in the morning. It's
we've never been able to do that.
But we have a dishwasher.
You know, we have a dishwasher.
Yeah.
And
nobody knows how to run it except for one.
No, there's one upstairs.
Yeah, but that's really small.
Well, we have a small one.
Just like
up in the
home one.
I think you just have to not mark the paper out. And if people want their coffee bad enough, they'll take glass.
Well, and it requires a little bit of upfront investment to buy the mugs.
Yeah.
But if it,
yeah,
says St. Matthew's, this is Lutheran Church, right?
Mm-hmm.
St. Matthew's or St. Matthew Lutheran Church on it, then people have a sense of ownership when they're drinking their coffee and they're, when they're drinking their fair trade coffee. And,
oh, yeah, we have fair trade.
And then we have volunteers for different kinds of ministry, and someone loads the dishwasher and runs it.
And you've got a fairly big congregation.
Yeah, we got two pastors, and it's about 1,100, I think.
Okay. Well, maybe we should get a little more serious about that.
Summertime would be a good time to try it for those viewers.
The coffee will taste better?
Oh, yeah.
Bruce's coffee will always taste
Bruce's
better.
Coffee.
Ceramic.
Oh, well, we'll get you up there to tell everybody.
We have co-op in Pennsylvania that our son supports.
Oh.
We give back more money. He's the advocate. We give back more money than Fair Trade does to the farmers in Tanzania.
That's great. You're doing that.
about, you know, how you draw people in. This sustainability fair that we do in the fall now, this will be our fourth year. And so the neighborhood knows when we do things like this, and they come in. They come in for the sustainability fair, which sells the crafts that we do. We bring in fair trade vendors to sell their stuff. And then we also band together with the farmers in Madison. Do you know that group?
The Peace, yeah, the Justice.
Oh, yeah. The farmer in charge, his last name is Kinsman, John Kinsman.
No, that's not the one we're with.
Oh, okay.
It's not Harvest of Hope.
No, it's like Churches for...
Churches Center for Land and People.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they bring in the farmers with their produce, and then they also bring all the ingredients. So we do a local pancake breakfast that Jeannie runs. Very, very good. Because everything is, you know, really fresh. The yogurt and the... We had goat yogurt last time, and people liked it.
And people did ask about it.
Real maple
syrup. Fresh fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Apples.
Yeah, and fresh apple cider. We do it in November. So that's really popular. So now people just look forward to... Oh, and sausages that they make. So that brings in people, and then we do this women's wellness thing that isn't necessarily care for creation, except last time it was on eating. So eating local and healthy. So Jeannie did soups,
mm-hmm.
and somebody did grains, and someone else did root vegetables,
yeah.
and someone did healthy snacks. Mm-hmm. And that was so popular, and it brought in people again from the community. But we work on publicity,
mm-hmm.
so like the Wauwatosa newspaper.
The local newspaper, yeah.
Yeah, we put that, the community has a website that posts things, so we get all that stuff posted on things, and that helps. So they know us now.
Oh, yeah.
Take a look at, this is the manual that David Rhodes has really been behind. Here's one more. And this is on the internet under Lutherans Restoring Creation.
So there's a, I don't know if you would be interested, there's a, an organization called Northwest Earth Institute, and they've have you heard of them? Yeah, the study guides that they've compiled. So we've done some small group work with them. They're split into like six sessions, and there'll be maybe five or six excerpts from books or magazine articles or something, all related to a certain subject. Like one of them was Healthy Kids, Healthy Planet, and there were all like six different sessions that we do talking about kids and creation and education, and there are a couple on food, eating sustainably, and they've been really nice to those little groups of people to sort of coalesce around and talk about, and it's a nice way to involve maybe more people in the thought process.
Yeah, yeah.
You did mention your new magazine recycling.
Oh yeah, well that's worked out well. We bought a nice, you know, those Rosie did it. The magazine racks that look like a ladder that are slanted so that it would look nice. But then all the people just bring in magazines,
mm-hmm.
and take magazines. And that's been popular. The only thing is, when we have Care for Creation meetings, then we go through the magazines and throw out the
mm-hmm.
old ones. Otherwise, they kind of stack up. But I thought the other thing I was going to mention is having swaps of things has been real popular. We started with a children's clothing swap. You could just bring clothing and take anything you want. Didn't matter. No money.
Mm-hmm.
Just we said if you wanted to give money, you could give it to one of our partner Reformation Church you could make a donation to that, but otherwise just take holding. And people from the community now know and come in to that. Then somebody said, well, let's do a toy swap. And so now we do a, we do the clothing swap in the spring and the toy swap in November.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the toy swap, someone said, let's do an athletic equipment swap. So now in August, you know, outfitting your kids with soccer stuff and, you know, all those things. Okay? That's what we're doing. And then there's a group in Milwaukee called Dream Bike, I think it is, Dream Bicycle, something like that. It, Trek is the company behind it. So when we do the athletic equipment swap, then we're also collecting bicycles. But those will go to Dream Bike, and they pay people to learn to repair bikes, and then they sell them back on a microloan basis. And so that's a, I mean, it seems like a good reuse of resources.
And then also the Cove Women's Group. Yeah. Mainly work type clothing. Was an organization, other organizations in the city that help women when they're preparing to interview for jobs and get jobs. And so we've done that. We've done collections.
Okay, so maybe this is, I think, something to just kind of look through. Most of you sound like you're beyond getting started. I'm running out of ability to speak. So whoever would like to.
Is our ability to run with an idea. Somebody will come to us with an idea and we'll say, yeah, let's do it. And so we do. It's things aren't held up in committees. They aren't held up. It's just enthusiasm that just goes. And I don't think anybody's brought us an idea yet that we haven't run with. And it really does run the gamut from making salsa to clothing swaps to athletic shoe recycling that they put into playground stuff. Somebody has an idea, and Care for Creation can probably umbrella over it, and we've got enough people that are interested in doing it, so we can just run with it. And it's really been very successful.
Yeah, maybe just look a little bit at some of these. I don't know, maybe turn to page 4. Starts to give you some ideas about what you can do in worship. We have not done a lot of this.
We'll see how it goes this year. This was our old pastor's big baby. He started Creation Tide several years ago, and that was 6 weeks in the fall when everything was creation related. So we've done a fair amount with that. And we do every, this Sunday, right around Earth Day, we do an intergenerational Sunday school hour where there's something educational and Earth related. So.
What's the meaning of the cross?
It's, you make a cross out of like chicken layer and a stronger frame with it. And then collect flowers, and the whole thing is flowers. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful. And we went to florists and called ahead and collected flowers that were kind of beyond there, because to do it takes a lot of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it on the outside, hung it on the outside of the church at Easter, or we had a special Care for Creation service for the Senate, and then we did that.
Have you guys done anything with your Sunday school and the sort of Care for Creation kind of undercurrent in the lessons? That's what I'm really interested in. I haven't come across anything that really lends itself to that for a whole.
I don't think we've done a whole theme, kind of like a section of Sunday school? No, I mean, certainly they've planted things.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Done the weaving.
But the real sort of the education piece and the, you know, the tie, and it seems to me like that's where that's where a whole bunch of, I hate to use the phrase bang for the buck would come, but in terms of sort of ingraining that kind of mentality into the population.
Getting those kids that Bruce was talking about.
And our school kids, you know, we're lucky. I think in Portland we live in a little bit of a bubble, because, you know, the whole green frame of mind has been around there for so long that it's kind of natural for the kids, for the most part. But the tie to God's creation and doing those things is not so.
It's probably more known. Somebody made this statement. I don't remember who the speaker was in here about it. It's our science and our faith tells us to care for creation, and people know the science side of it, but not necessarily. You could take. Somebody was looking at my Bible. I have one of those green Bibles. Do you know that? Where anything that kind of refers to the earth and things like that is in green, as opposed to, you know, red for what Jesus said. You can buy them fairly cheap, because I don't think they sold real well. But, you know, if you just kind of go through there, you'll see all these references that could be incorporated into something. The worship practices that are in here, then education. There's just all kinds of ideas here for adult ed. They don't. Well, here's one curriculum. It's on page 6 under number 2. And the second item, curriculum for vacation church school. Consider renewed.
Yeah, and I think I did look at that, and there were some cool ideas. It's very like, oh, sort of a week's worth of, it's like vacation Bible school. Yeah. It's certainly a place to start.
Here's the Northwest Earth Institute. Simple living, compassionate living, that has some interesting things on it.
So have you guys watched the movie King Korn?
That's a good one.
I've heard about it. Yeah.
Fresh is another one.
I'm looking at page 12 under discipleship, like that, I'm looking family. Just showing the rest of creation what they can do to care for the earth. I'm in education. Science education and environmental studies, and it's important to understand that, and I'm not disagreeing with this at all, but I think we have to be very careful about at what age we burden our little shoulders with the disasters in the rainforest and mercury in our lakes and things like that that small children can't take on as a global burden. Developmentally, the best thing to do with young children is promote awareness of the beauty of all that's around us, and then work into knowledge, then name things after the awareness comes, and then gradually, third grade or above, work into activism.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And I'm not disagreeing with this. But I am saying there is a logical order to do things.
Right.
Are there any good books? You know, just thinking about for our library.
There are numbers of good books, there are bibliographies, and I don't, of course, have any in my head at the moment. But our congregation, in looking at Sunday school materials for young children, went with a lot of
science-y trade books, but you know, what wonders in the soil we have.
Right.
And then the teachers extend that and say,
yeah.
Look at the wonderful soil God has given us to grow our plants.
Capstone Publishing has an excellent, if you go to their website, as far as starting as young as 3 years old, just showing them what dirt looks like and how the roots go into the dirt and how it comes up. And they've got a whole series on science, social studies, all of them. And it starts, like you said, and then each level is color-coded. So if you start out looking for a three-year-old, you can go to that section, but if you're going for a third grader, it just progresses a lot. And they're realistic pictures, you know, so. And what happens is, like, in my classroom, I'm able to go ahead and they can plant seeds, and a lot of times kids get impatient because they're not going fast enough, but then by looking at the book and charting, they can see when it's going to be coming.
Great.
I had bought Rachel Carson, I think it's from Maine.
Oh, yeah, Sense of Wonder.
And is that what it's called? I don't remember that, but yeah, that's a beautiful book.
It's
and
wonderful.
I love books like that. Some of these restore local habitat is at the bottom. You know, it says public commitments. We always participate in the river cleanups in the area. You know, and that might be a way that would, like if you, I'm just thinking of your congregation, so people would know where you came from. Maybe you wear t-shirts that say whatever, but you go clean up with everybody else and they'll see what you're doing.
Yeah, it's something that's green but common ground in Milwaukee. Our church has, I don't know, about 7 people who go out and inspect properties that have been foreclosed. And it's, you know, it's not, it's just a whole different area. But if the copper isn't stolen out of these homes, they'll be able to be used as homes again. And they're, so that's just their Common Ground, I think, is a national organization. I'm new to this church, so I just know that there's at least 3 groups of 2 people who go out and inspect 6 or 7 homes once a month just to see what they look like and to report. They report back, and we had somebody go to the annual meeting of Deutsche Bank in Germany. Deutsche Bank is now contributing to maintaining the homes. And I think Wells Fargo has contributed to, this is the Sherman Park area. And I think they're working on U.S. Bank, and U.S. Bank does some other things, and Bank of America. But there's like 6 banks that have the most foreclosed property in Milwaukee. And you go down some streets, and it's
okay, we're at our time. I just wanted to, I'm trying to remember the name, but there's a, I don't know what you call it, that you can subscribe to where you get messages from the ELCA, their advocacy messages for Care for Creation. I just can't remember exactly what it's called.
I can't remember it either.
But those are good. I mean, they're definitely worth signing up for if you want to think about acting on a broader basis and doing some kind of advocacy work. Those are helpful. Well, thank you for coming. And
it's nice to be here.
Thank you. A very, very different issue. Between a very small congregation we are, and ours, very ecology and green conscious. But there's still lots we can, but not necessarily everybody in our congregation. So there's lots that we can begin to do, but we don't have, I mean, a lot of these projects are quite a lot of people, and we don't, we have small number of people. We also don't have any other city, we have poor people on the island, but it's just,
do you have a partner congregation in Tacoma?
No.
That way you could do whatever comes.
But then Debbie has to tell Paul.
Well, I might, you know, there are a couple of. He just took two or three little things from here. And we could actually get something going.